Hey, watch out!
You've entered the Kill Zone. Live from Hollywood, California. The Kill Zone Podcast with your host, Biranid 40K. Real talk for competitive Kill Team 40K from today's top players. Tactics and strategies. News you need to know. And tactical Q&A is coming your way. Join the Biranid 40K Patreon for full access to all episodes. Only $5 per month.
Welcome to episode 15 of the Killzone Podcast. This is Biranid 40K, and today I'm once again joined by my illustrious co-host, Eric Gushinsky, a.k.a. Oodsickle. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right, man. Illustrious co-host. I like that. All right. I know it has been a while, dude. I've missed this. I've missed getting to talk about Kill Team, because it was even like pre-pandemic times, right? Like, was the last time I was on before LVO?
Yeah, it was like the day before quarantine or some crap, because that was basically the last time that I was a free human being was a couple days before St. Pat's.
Gotcha. So it was post-LVO. I couldn't remember. But
LVO was a thing, but before it was pre-quarantine. That was when they were still telling us to go to, like, New Year's celebration thing in March, the cultural center stuff, like all that.
Oh, yeah. But we had already talked about the results of LVO and, like, our experiences there. I couldn't remember, dude. That's how long it's been. And honestly, I'll be honest with you, like, it's been, like, I couldn't believe the other day, because I was talking to my friend, and I was just like, man, I was remembering right when they told us we were going to get like a month off, I was just stoked, right, when California shut down, because the start of the year had been so insane. And like, in my mind, I was like, good, I'm going to get a break. Like, I'll get, you know, I was going to get only 2 out of the 4 weeks paid, but that felt like, okay, perfect. I'm happy with that. Like, I can take a, you know, like, kick back my feet, relax a little bit, things will get back to normal, and then the rest of the year can continue. I get the rest that I need, kind of thing. And then that was like 4 weeks is what I thought, 4 weeks. And now it's been over 12 weeks and I'm laid off now. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's just this whole, and I can't even believe it. We're in August, dude. It is August 1st today that we are recording this. That is insane.
Yep.
That is
insanity. From March to August. And it's kind of like, you know, 2 months from now, basically we're looking at, like, is SoCal going to be going? And it's kind of like, I don't know at this point.
I mean, it might be. I can't believe that. I mean, look, I don't want to get political, right? It's your podcast. It's not a political
podcast. That's right.
It's not what people come here for. yeah. But just the fact that people are running GTs right now for 9th edition seems insane to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care where you're at. Like, the reality is, like, even if you're keeping it a small group, like, if it's your friends, right? Like, if you and I were to play a game together and, like, record a video, it would be kind of like, I mean, because of your situation, obviously, it's more difficult, right? But, like, you know, with the kids and everything and your wife, but, like, for me, it wouldn't be that crazy, right? Like, I see my sister and I see my family still, because I know that they're self-quarantining. They're going to the grocery store, maybe. They're staying within their, like, bubble. I trust them.
Yeah.
But going to a GT, you could be playing against, like, mind you, even if you're wearing a mask, you're not touching their models, not touching their dice. You could be playing, you know, a few feet across a table from a guy who was just at a huge rager the night before. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know what these people are going out and doing is the biggest thing. It's the human factor, right? Where it's like, you know, they say, like, you know, when you're in a relationship and stuff, it's like you can never truly know the other person. Like, people can surprise you still, even if it's somebody you think you 100% know. So when it's like, when it's strangers going to play a game, like, I don't trust people is the biggest thing. Like, people have proven that throughout this, that they can't be trusted, right? There's, like, kids are throwing COVID parties and crazy crap like that where they're trying to catch it or some nonsense. I don't freaking know. Places are crazy. I wouldn't trust it, but you know what? I mean, I can't tell people how to live their lives, so.
Yeah, man. So, I guess it hasn't been all bad. A lot of people are getting some stuff done hobby-wise. You know, I've seen all these pictures of people are posting of just, like, these fantastic paint jobs and all the things that they're managing to do. Is there anything that you're working on right now at home?
I'd love to tell you that I have fantastically painted models or, like, stuff. I started working on my ad mech right around the start of, like, quarantine. I think, like, the second or third weekend, like, I was like, oh, sweet, I'm going to build this kill team. And then, like, as time went on, like, I was really good at, dude. I was going on, like, you know, I was, like, doing my friend who's, like, he does, like, what is it called? Ultimate like races or whatever. Not Ultimate Ninja, but what is the like Mudders, like, you know, whatever those crazy. Why can't I think Spartan races? He does Spartan races. He does all this stuff. He trains people too. So he like set up a YouTube channel and like put together like exercises and stuff. And I did that for like a week straight. Julia got me to do some yoga. Like I was doing stuff like this. I was really, really good at the start. And then like as it started to set in more and more that like I wasn't gonna get to actually use those ad mech or I wasn't gonna actually get to go do any of these things, I just like I hit this wall where I just like stopped caring, which is terrible, right? Like it's definitely like, I mean, mental health has been a big part of this whole shutdown too, right? And it's just like I've been trying to hold on, and you know, it's just like I see my family like once a week when I go grocery shopping, or twice a week if I go babysit my niece or something like that. But otherwise, like, it's just me and my roommate here in my place. Like, you know, like I'm keeping things quarantined or keeping things, you know, shut down for the most part here. So it's like there's only so much Netflix you can watch. There's only so much. Dude. There's only so many video. I have played in the last 3 months, 4 months, whatever it is. I have played more video games during quarantine times than I did all of last year combined.
Absolutely.
And I'm getting sick of video games. That's why I started playing Tabletop Simulator more. Like, I gotten sick of Tabletop Simulator, but then I was just playing video games like 16 hours a day for like 2 weeks, and I was just like, yeah, I can't do this. I need a break from this. Not that much. That's a lot. But you know what I mean? Like, I was just sat at my computer again like I used to be, because I used to do that a lot before I got into photography and tabletop and like all the stuff that I do outside of video games now. But I can't do any of that. I can't go out and play board games against you guys. I can't go play D&D with my cousin. I can't go. I mean, some of this stuff you can do online. It's just not the same, you know? And I can't go do like photo shoots and stuff like I was doing. And it's just, you know, yeah, just kind of drive me crazy, you know?
Yeah, dude, it's kind of similar here. Like, I've just, it's been absolutely, I mean, it hasn't just been a quarantine. I think like the rest of the world, you know, has had a different kind of quarantine than we have had in California and stuff like that. I mean, I guess the whole U.S. had like those protests and things like that. But it's like literally 15, you know, like if you were to walk just like two streets over, it's like, okay, there's a car burning. You know what I mean? Like, we had an earthquake at 4:30 in the morning the other night, a 5.0, the epicenter 15 minutes from my house. It's just been like crazy.
Fires started up again too, didn't they? Are you near the fire areas? I forget where
thank
you're
goodness.
At. I know you're up in the valley. Yeah.
But it's just it's been crazy. And then, so the people that are listening, you know some of this, but the people that are listening that you guys don't know, you might be like, hey, why hasn't Bearnid posted very much? Hey, last episode of the Killzone podcast was supposed to be Patreon only. So yeah, I had kidney stones very, very badly. And this isn't just like your average, like even in good times, okay, everything's up and running, kidney stones suck. But my wife has a very bad autoimmune issue, and she takes medication on top of that to suppress her immune system. So I've had to ride this out with no medical intervention, because if I go to the emergency room and I catch COVID because of that and I bring that home, that's a big deal. So I literally rode this out with no pain meds, and it has been almost life altering. Almost like there are moments of out of body experience type moments. It has been a really interesting thing to.
Well, and you can't like quarantine yourself. You have kids to take care of. Yeah. Stuff going, you know what I mean? Like, you gotta. Yeah, no, for sure, dude.
Been like absolutely insane. So last episode was actually supposed to be Patreon only, but I recorded it lit. You know, I was drinking like some smuggled absinthe and stuff like that I brought back from Mexico on the last trip and things like that, because that was the only pain meds was like liquor, ibuprofen, you know, things like that. And so I when I pressed record last time, I didn't do the thing that I need to do to be able to make it a private kind of an episode. So sorry, guys.
You know,
been surviving out here, you know, kill team in the time of COVID, or COVID in the time of kill team, I guess.
If you're still listening at this point, we will get to kill team at some point.
Yes.
We're catching up. We're, you know, hitting all the real world buttons right now. Just, you know, that's part of having a Patreon and stuff too, right? Like, people like a little window into what's going on. So
absolutely.
I mean, so
that's kind of like, you know, part of it is just like, hey, this is what we're up to. But so let's get into kill team stuff. What do you think? What's a good thing to start on here? There's so much to talk about.
Tabletop Simulator. Okay. I know you touched on it a little bit, but I haven't really talked about it because I think maybe a little bit way back when, but obviously there was no reason to really discuss it because we were able to play with each other in person. So
yes. Yeah, man. Well, actually, I have a thing somewhere. If you want to talk about something else while I can pull it up. Okay. I've been working on a project. I just can't seem to find my file
just on
right
the TTS side of things, like we've played two tournaments now. Well, I played, you didn't play the first one, did you?
No, I didn't play the first one.
You weren't hooked up yet. Yeah.
Nope.
So I played two tournaments. The Command Point guys have been running some tournaments on Tabletop Simulator. If you're interested in joining those, go check out their, they have a Discord and all that. I'm sure it's linked through their videos. Maybe Chris can throw up a link. I don't know. I don't want to speak for him supporting, you know, I don't know what his support is like, but,
I can
you
get
know,
links.
It's, yeah, the Command Point guys, which have been pretty awesome. Those guys are really cool, to meet and to interact with and to, you know, get kind of their, you know, their East Coast guys. So they, you know, get a little bit of their meta and our meta. And we had, I mean, my games in that first tournament, I played against a guy in China. I played against a guy in France. I played like, it was all over the place, which is really, really cool. I played Custodes and got completely diced on them, lost in a total of four rounds, because I lost three in a total of three rounds the first game and one in the first round of the second game. I lost four Custodes in four turns. You know, that good old feeling.
Against
Harlequins with all those attacks and my saves not making it, and then him rolling damage three on those kisses or whatever. But yeah, dude, TTS, I took a break from it after that first tournament, and then the second tournament, it was more just like a, I guess I'll play it kind of thing, and then, you know, going through those games was like a drag, and then we ended up eliminating an elimination match between you and I, first match out of the groups,
yes.
because I couldn't kill some Daemonettes, so we ended up having to duke it out, which, you know, sucked, knocking, you know, either of us knocking the other out, kind of, you know, not fun to knock out your buddy in the first round, but it is what it is. So
yeah, so it was basically, we played, there was a pod section, you know, kind of like a qualifier, and then once you make it through that, there was like the actual elimination round, and you and I got paired up the first game of that, and it was basically like one of us is not continuing on, and your Tau took it, sadly enough.
Yeah, well, when one rail rifle takes out your leader and your veteran specialist turn one on Overwatch.
In the movement phase, yes. Turn one in the movement phase. I have lost my veteran and my leader. It was great.
Yeah. It wasn't the Astartes, you know, best moment, but you had an interesting team, which, I mean, you had set up to face Necrons and Drukhari, and you didn't get the chance to face either. So you know.
Yeah.
Fun times.
And this is an interesting thing, right? This is what we always talk about, where it's like you look at faction data or something like that. A win-loss ratio doesn't tell you hardly anything, because it's like, okay, I built this thing to beat Drukhari and Necrons, and they were everywhere. I called it. You know, I knew this was going to be an issue in this pack. And, you know, I had to scrap my entire roster that I had won a tournament with that was BAO prep, and redo it basically to face these guys, and that didn't leave me with much else, you know. And then it was two Astartes, two Tau that I had to face, and the second Tau knocked me out. So you gave me my first ever loss to Tau in a tournament, because before that I will lose to Tau all the time in local pickup games and stuff like that, but I cannot for the life of me, I was unable to lose to Tau in tournaments, and this time you got me. You broke the spell.
Well, I'll say this. It comes back to one of those things that you always said, right? Where it's like when you're building a roster, you have to look at things and you have to go, okay, this would work really, like you went hard tilt towards Necrons and Drukhari, right?
Yep.
Instead of doing that thing that you've even talked about yourself in the past where like, okay, I need to think of what's the best model I can put on this roster that will work overall. Like, this might be best against that team. This might be best against that other team. I need to fall somewhere in the middle if I can only have so many slots on my roster so that I can face them both. Which, to be fair, like, right? I mean, that's just matchups, right? Like, it's people talk about Grey Knights versus Harlequins. Like, if you spin the wheel and you just happen to get your first elimination match as a Harlequin player is against Grey Knights, like, you're going to have feel bad. You know what I mean? Like, and that's just, there's some matchups that exist like that that just aren't good. Like, you know, you look at, Nova last year when it was Orcs versus Tau, and it was just like a gun line with Orcs just running at it, getting shot off the open board. Like, there are just bad matchups like that that exist in the game.
Yeah.
So yeah, for you it was unfortunate. You still gave me a game, like game. I think like turn end of turn two, it was within like 2 points. It really just you couldn't catch up. If you had had an extra even one of those units, I think it would have even been closer. Which speaks volumes too about my ability to play that packet. But with the doors starting open and with the ability to like what open a door or close it, like to get into combat, and like I didn't even realize that I could have fallen back a guy who got put into combat that way. Like there's lots of little intricacies to that packet that I hadn't familiarized myself with, because I didn't prep for these things like we have in the past. Like we prepped a ton for LVO this past year. We prepped for SCO to a certain degree, not as much as either of us wanted to, but you know, like I hadn't really prepped for this much.
No, I mean, we played a crap load of it, right? We had you know, prep comps and things like that, but it was always different versions. The terminals worked this way, the terminals worked that way now, things like that, you know.
That was also 3 or 4 months ago too.
Like, absolutely.
I hadn't played that packet. The last time I played that packet was when you came over and we recorded and I played Death Watch on it. You let me borrow your Death Watch or whatever.
I'm pretty sure
that's the last time I played that, when I was messing around with your Death Watch. Like, I'm pretty sure that's the last time I played the packet before this tournament, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's the last physical game I've played, actually.
Yeah.
You back in March, like 2 days before St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
All right, between, you know, kidney stones have been a thing. There's been fires, there's been earthquakes, there's been all this kind of crazy stuff. But Olbirinid, you know how I get kind of single-minded, obsessive about stuff?
No, never. I don't know. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know who you're talking about.
So I saw there was a discussion on tier lists in one of the Discords, and I just kind of like, I think it was the quarantine and all these months of just stuff. I kind of snapped internally. Mm-hmm. I didn't post anything, but I snapped internally and basically was like, you know, tier lists, anything you see about tier lists, it's all suppositions, you know, anecdotal data. Like there's no verifiable anything, you know, and that's what kind of bothers me about this kind of stuff.
It depends on the packet. It depends on the point value. It depends on the set. There's so many other factors involved with it. But I think the main thing that people do when they look at a tier list is they're speaking from a lot of their own experience, the results they see online, and then just in a general sense how they feel about teams, right?
Like, yeah.
I don't know any packet to date that would put Kroot at top tier. I could see them, like, you know, at SoCal Open, like, I remember playing them in Arena and that, and they, like, 20 guys, like, and 20 of anything. You ran your Cults list then, right? Your spam 20 of anything in Arena, especially with the old way doors worked and blocking and all the, and, you know, domination and all these kinds of things. Like, anything in that format with that many models, like, you're going to have a shot, right? Like, you can definitely trip some people up. But at the same time, like, the guy who plays Kroot even says himself, like, he doesn't ever expect much out of him when he throws him on the field. You know what I mean? Like, he loves the team, but he, you know, they just don't have a lot of the tools that other teams have. Which is the project you're talking about the one with all the markers? Is that what we're about to discuss? Okay. All right,
so what I did is I assigned each team 47 identical markers. So each team got the same 47. And it was just basically like a question of like a pass, fail, or exceeds kind of a thing, right? Like basically the way that I put it is a pass was worth 1 point, a fail was worth 0 points, and an exceptional score was worth 2 points. So it's kind of like, does this team have a 2-damage melee weapon? You know, just like things like that. Like all the things that could help a team succeed in a pack or whatever. And it was actually pretty interesting. So like basically, like, I mean, markers, what are some markers we could do, right? Like, does the faction have a 6-inch move or better? Some don't. Death Guard do not. So they get a fail there. And some things like Tau have 8 inches with fly and all this stuff. So they would get an exceptional. They score 2 points. Yeah. So it's, you know, and Grey Knights, they would pass, right? Because they have that minimum requisite of 6-inch move.
At the same time, though, right? Like, and I don't know how deep you went in with these markers. This is my first, real exploration of this thing. You know, we haven't discussed a lot. But it's like, then you have to look at, do those teams have assault weapons as well?
Absolutely.
Or things like that. You know what I mean? Because Grey Knights, they have that 6-inch movement marker, but they're talking, you know, if you advance, you're not shooting. So,
yeah, assault was definitely one of the things. So I went through, again, so to help kind of, and I'm going to make a video on this eventually, right? Like people don't, I still think people don't quite understand that like my Astartes video was 3 months of work. Like this is probably going to be something similar. So basically the way that this works, right, is if there's 47 markers, a perfect score is 47 out of 47, but a team can actually exceed that if they scored exceptional enough times. So you could be scoring 49 out of 47. You know, there's only 47 markers, but you scored 49 because you were exceptional in enough, or you know, stuff like that. So that I found was kind of an interesting thing to look at this with, you know, that kind of a lens and see, you know, maybe this is S tier and things like what is basically the most versatile. So the current median was 36, mode mean 37.7, mode 39. Basically, let's break this down and look at it, what I have so far. Okay, because
can
eventually,
I just say,
yeah.
Have you ever seen Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
No.
Okay. Well, there's a scene that, and I'll send you the photo right now. You can see in Discord. There's this, it's a picture. There's a scene where the character Charlie is like tracking a conspiracy theory about the mail, and he's got all these papers up on the wall and all these, you know, lines connected between them, and he's smoking and he's been drinking a bunch of coffee.
Yes.
So he's like shaking and he's like going all crazy. That's how I'm imagining you while working on this list.
Yes.
You're like, it's the markers, Eric. It's the markers. Look,
dude,
this marker,
yes,
and these numbers, here's the mean, Eric. It means something. I don't know what, but it means something. Like,
yes.
I'm just, you know, like, yeah.
So,
yeah, yeah.
With kidney stone and liquor on top to deaden the pain, this is basically what I came up with. And this is actually a couple weeks of work. So,
for sure, I'm not saying it's insane. I'm just
no,
saying
it
I
is
can see
insane.
Because of how passionate.
Like, why would
how
somebody do this?
How like yeah?
Why
yeah,
would
exactly.
somebody do this? Like on
exactly.
based off of a Discord post, you know, of oh I'm you know
yeah.
gene stealer cults are low tier, and this I'm like bah, snap. Boom, get on the computer,
yeah.
clicky clacky. Okay, we're going to set up this form. We're going to do this stuff. So, what I have so far, can you guess what the number one score was or who it was? Anything like that?
It's kind of unfair because I do know already, but I
oh,
mean,
okay. I forgot.
Just guessing.
Can you give me the top
guess...
five? Who do you think the top
okay.
five are?
So, I know Astartes is number one, Adeptus Astartes.
Absolutely.
And I would guess that to begin with just because of their sheer number of options. They have
yeah.
more pages or more stat blocks of options than any other team. Like, they're like,
yes.
you know, you need this kind of thing to figure out. I remember when you first started doing Adeptus Astartes, and even, you know, Michael Holy and myself and all these people were questioning some of your workouts, but you were like, nah, nah, nah. See, I get rid of my pistol and I add a sword, and I get rid of my sword and I add a flamer. And everybody was like, what? That makes no sense. But then you read the stat block and you highlight some points and you're like, okay, that's how it works, I guess. And, you know, and it
yes.
works different for Dark Angels than it does for Blood Angels or for, you know, there's so many different options out there that just based on that alone, Astartes would have been my pick regardless of me knowing.
So Marines, they were actually the only one that went over the 47. There's one more that had
uh-huh.
a perfect score, 47 out of 47. But the Marines actually scored 56 points from those 47 markers. And again, it
Ooh.
Was kind of like an interesting thing because it's like, well, what am I essentially testing for here is adaptability, right? And that totally makes
yeah, yeah.
sense. You know, here I am saying, okay, we're looking at hold and kill, all this stuff, hold, or as I call it, Sitzkrieg,
mm-hmm.
you know, the old Nova format, all this
yeah.
stuff. All the different formats that we've played so far, I've just kind of said, you know, what could do well in that, and I put out these markers. And so it's not really surprising that Marines would score the highest,
yeah.
but just the amount that they scored is amazing. Now, here's the thing that I find interesting
right.
is that in a vacuum, the faction scored all of these things, but individual models do not contain all of that. So that's kind of like where
oh,
the struggle
yeah, yeah.
is.
For sure.
Yeah, is
yeah.
that no individual model is at that 56 out of 47. But it's just
faction
the faction
as a whole.
As a whole. And that
yeah,
kind of,
yeah.
again, gave credence to what I've been saying about the roster holding this faction back. If there was no roster and kill team, if it was just like make
oh, yeah.
a list,
you could take whatever
dude,
you needed.
Astartes,
yeah.
yes, they would be disgustingly
100%.
Oh,
Pete, you just have
yes.
it would take you an hour to make a counter list to somebody's list because it would take you so long, but yeah, you'd have so many options,
dude.
You'd be like, oh, like,
yes,
but it's so funny too, right? Because even then, in their options, they've got them all, but some of them are so insane. A Laz Cannon costs 13 points,
yeah.
When some of these other teams just have fusion guns that are assault and like still one shot, but do the exact same amount of damage and everything, and can all this stuff, but a las cannon is 13 points. It's insane to me. But
yeah, dude. Right, so, but that's the thing, right? Is I mean, if Astartes in a vacuum, you know, if this new format were to crop up, and the next tournament is don't bring a roster, bring all of your models, and what you do is you tell, you know, what your faction is that you're playing, they tell you your faction, and you try to counter each other, Astartes would be broken in that. So there's right. there's that's I guess that's the number other, one.
The team that,
yes,
yeah.
Give me four
right,
more.
My guess is Eldar are the other team that scored the perfect or whatever, but didn't get past it or whatever it was.
That's a good guess. Eldar scored third place, but they are not a perfect score.
Okay. The perfect
they're just
score, then.
Under
let
it.
Me,
so Eldar, that's here. Eldar scored 44 out of 47 different markers.
Okay.
So almost right. a perfect score. I would still consider that kind of like S tier, right? Because we look at
the
middles are, things like that. So anything that's like...
Now, was one of the markers, did any of it have to do with like tactics and things like that too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Like being able to shoot twice, like things like that. Like just what does this faction have? Like different things
let me
like
see.
That.
Okay. I'm going to go... Ooh, man. Okay, this is tough.
It's going to surprise people. It might. It might not, but
all right, well,
it's not what
I
you're
don't know
thinking,
the second
likely.
Place, but I think top five, definitely in top five, I would think Adeptus Mechanicus. Are they in top five or
they
no?
are
I
not.
Really?
They
okay.
have, you know,
right.
here I am saying Ad Mech or OP, Ad Mech or top tier, all this stuff, and they actually scored, I will tell you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11th place with a score
wow,
of 35
okay.
out of 47. So here's the thing, right?
Okay.
Not all markers are created equal is what I'm discovering here. So the markers that certain things have are like the magic beans, like Necrons. Necrons, I personally feel in Kill Hold, are absolutely OP, but they're even under Harlequins with a score of 33 out of 47.
When it comes to your markers, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just that the markers they possess, they bring that into Hold and Kill.
They do
and
really
it gains
well in
the
that
format
but
yes.
they don't overall. All it might not be. Okay. I'm trying to think here. I'm looking at a list of all the different factions. I'm trying to think. Oh, okay. Is the other team that scored I'm gonna go okay, in the top five, Astra Militarum?
No.
No. Okay, because they have a bunch of options
they
too.
Do.
I'm just trying to think.
But they
who
only
has
scored 32 out of 47 so far. So
okay,
I feel I have a feeling when I add more markers, because this is just where I am so far, that things will shoot up. You know, but right now they are near the bottom. Even though I'm currently looking at them for like things like LVO packs, things like
what
that.
What about Drukhari then?
Drukhari are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th place with a score of 39 out of 47.
I'm guessing the teams that we consider like quote unquote top tier in the current meta, and none of those teams are showing up there on the markers, which like.
Well, like here's the
Excuse
thing, though,
me,
right?
Like you said,
they are
markers
above,
aren't created equal. I get that.
They are above all of these things, right? If we say, like I said, current median 36, mean 37.7, mode 39. I mean, Deldar is 39 out of 47, so they are still like
they're still
above.
High
they're high performers.
Okay. God, all right. I'm gonna take one more guess.
Okay.
At number two.
Okay.
And then you'll just have to let me know because I just keep guessing these, and none of these are even in the top five. Let me look. Okay. Man, I'm looking and I'm trying to think like what would do it. And you just said like we
think
just went
versatility,
over a
right?
Of...
Because that's what this thing like what
I
is
I am. I just thought okay. versatility and that screwed me. Is number of models like average number of models in a team, is that
Absolutely.
A marker?
Absolutely. Absolutely, okay, because that helps you succeed
in
some things, right?
Let's see. Versatility. Man, I am Heretic Astartes, maybe? I don't know.
Heretic Astartes, CSM scored 36 out of 47. They are 1, 2, 3,
see,
4,
yeah.
5,
no,
6,
down
7,
there.
8, 9, 10th place.
Me. I feel like an idiot now. Well, I'm done guessing.
I mean, nobody would guess that because everybody is saying they're super hurt by hold kill. Tyranids. With a perfect score of 47 out of 47.
It's because they have a lot of options, but even then their options aren't that great.
So that's what I'm saying, right? Again, the faction as a whole has a lot of magic beans, but it's not on any one model. You know what I mean? It's spread out over a lot of different things.
Yeah. Fair enough.
They have some great stuff, but you know, the roster limits a lot of things. If you're taking a 20 model list, you have taken a 20 model list with Tyranids. That's all you've got. So you're not accessing that deep, you know, mine. It's just fascinating. So, you know, Eldar was third with 44 out of 47. Can you guess fourth?
Okay.
Fourth or fifth, right? Because that's what we're going for is top five here.
Okay. Well, is Tau up there?
Tau is fifth. You are correct with Tau. So 40 out of 47.
Tau, like, they do have a lot of options, right? And they especially, you know, like, there's a lot of options there. But they have, like all the melees, all your melee markers, they scored, like, nothing on, right? Like, that's the thing where I thought would have dropped them is just because they're literally missing an entire aspect of the game.
So they scored exceptional in so many areas, dude, but they have no melee. If they had melee, like anything melee, just to add some of these markers on top, dude, like having an entire thing say no, but they're still at 40 out of 47, it's amazing.
No, I know. It's nutty. Okay. All right, so there's one more, right? There's one more in that top.
Yes, so there's one more. It's fourth place.
I'm gonna assume orcs.
Okay, orcs are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th place with 39 out of 47.
I thought we just they have a lot of options.
So usually above, like, 36 is where I would start to say, holy crap, look at this faction.
Now, hold
on.
If you tell me it's Gene Stealers, I'm going to be pissed.
No. Gene Stealers are under Deldar Orcs.
They do have a lot of options, but they just aren't. But, you know, Nids have a lot of options, but they struggle too. So, yeah, I can't think of it. What's the last one in the top five?
After Elites, Death Watch.
See, I thought about Death Watch, but
as
I just kept thinking the number of models will bring it down. But I guess they have access to a lot of that Astartes stuff,
too. Because of, like, part of it, right? they all of a sudden... they get to exceptional in movement because they can take the jump pack Vanguard veterans. You know, their output in terms of things like their weapons and stuff is just disgusting. And
they
now all the solid
tactics too.
Yes, so they started to get after Elites. It really brought them up. But again, now it's kind of like, are you fielding enough models to mine that basically that pile of resources? But they did score fourth with 41 out of 47. So again, the top five Birenid tier list, basically what I've tried to find with verifiable data, statistics, numbers, all this kind of stuff, is Marines.
Make sure you put a little asterisk next to it that this system is still in the final form.
It's
a beta system.
Yep. And I'm going to have to go through. Like, I didn't do Custodes yet, for example. Custodes is the only one that I haven't added yet.
All right, so go over the top five again really quick.
Because screw Custodes.
People can get through all of our muddled nonsense and just hear the top five.
So Marines, 56 out of 47, top play. So 47 markers tested. They scored exceptional and enough to actually exceed the amount of markers that were even counted. So 56 out of 47. Tyranids with a perfect score, 47 out of 47. Eldar in third with 44 out of 47. Some people know them as the Azur Yanni. If you're new to Kill Team, something like that, you might be like, who's Eldar? That's who the Eldar are. Death Watch is in fourth with 41 out of 47. And Tau are in fifth with 40 out of 47, despite having no melee whatsoever. But they
That's insane to me.
Yes,
that's so insane to me.
If they had melee, they would just be so over the top. So next, under Tau, this would be sixth, is Death Guard with 39 out of 47. Right under them, Deldar, Dark Eldar, with 39 out of 47. So they're seventh place. Eighth place is the Orcs with 39 out of 47. So still, above where we would like to see a faction be.
Above the average, yeah.
Now we start to get the average, which would be Gene Stealer Cults next with 36 out of 47. Chaos Space Marines tied them. 36 out of 47. So GSC, CSM, we're looking at them and saying they should be on tier with each other, on par, which is interesting, you know, because we just saw two Heretic Astartes players do really well in BATS, right? The Bay Area Open Tournament Simulation. So that gives me a lot of hope there, because you look at Gene Stealer Cults and they're tied with a faction that is currently now in the finals. You know, we have Micromancer, who's at least going to take second. So that's pretty cool.
Corn Berserkers have a lot to do with that, though, and Colts don't have a Corn Berserker.
No, but they have, like, the AP4 Instant Death Rock Cutters, and, you know, they score a lot of stuff, right? They have crazy movement things, like if you start tacking on Twisted Helix to give plus two to advances, just, like, a lot of crazy stuff that they can do. So under that, actually, is the Admech, with 35 out of 47. And tied with them is actually Harlequins. So this is saying Harlequins and AdMech are on the same level in terms of viability with 35 out of 47, which is an interesting thing. And I do think Harlequins are great. They're disgusting. They're scary. They just hit this wall right now with the matchup of Grey Knights and Thousand Suns and things like that. They do not do well against Psychic.
Yeah, I think they are very good. I do think they are very good. I just think so kind of similar to how Tau only have one way of playing, right? Which is like a shooty way of playing.
Yeah.
Harlequin similarly, like I know there's the stuff that we've talked about with like pistols and that subtraction.
Which people should be playing. Frozen Stars is a Timmy trap. Stop being a Timmy, everybody. Play
in reality, their biggest thing is like, I want to make these long charges. I want to get in and I want to hit you with a bunch of attacks, right? And like, so that's kind of like you only have one stat block for them. It's players.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they don't have the options, but they are a very solid team. I don't think they're in a place where they're gonna win a tournament just because they don't have the, like you said, the versatility.
Well, it's just the psychic things, wall that hits them, right? And I mean, this gets into what I keep harping on about commanders, is that Elites is actually a commander's expansion, in my opinion. Elites has like over 20 different commanders, different commander things, different commander psychic powers, all this different stuff. And Harlequins, they didn't get much in Elites because they had...
But they got new commanders. They got a ton of new commanders.
They have amazing commanders. And the Shadowseer, for example, is the most powerful psyker in the game. So they wouldn't necessarily need any buffs in Elites because the book that had just come out for, you know, that was commanders, buffed them into the stratosphere, and giving them more on top of that wouldn't have made sense, right? So that's why they're kind of handcuffed.
Well, I mean, also they don't have any units that you could have added in Elites, right? Like they just
don't. Yeah, I mean, one of their commanders is actually an Elites choice in the game, if I recall correctly.
Oh, really?
Big 40K. Okay. Yeah. But I mean, here's the thing, right? Is it's like we keep saying here in this discussion, when you put a faction into a format, you know, you say Team A goes into this format, what they do in that isolation is going to be completely different than somebody else, right? Because the markers, we're just testing for number of markers right now, but the markers do different things. Like right under Harlequins is Necrons, who are currently dominating because their markers, the things that that faction has, which is they can stand on objective. They have numbers, right? They have a model who's 10 points or under, which is one of the markers. They can stand, you know, and take the field basically with massive bodies. They are super hard to kill, but very killy themselves. You look at the Lich Guard with that Scythe and, you know, it's AP 4, 2 damage, all this kind of stuff. They're extremely killy, but hard to kill. They take numbers, they can hold. So they're doing the hold, they're doing the kill, and they're denying you kills. So it's like it's very hard to actually beat them with the magic beans that faction has in this isolated format. So again, not all markers are created equal, but
You look at you're talking about units that are 10 or under, right? Like you look at like even if you took like the scouts with a knife and pistol, right?
Yeah.
Like if they were allowed to reroll all hits and all wounds, those scouts would be pretty terrifying, would they not? Like for 10 points.
10 points.
If they were allowed to
even without reanimation protocols and things like that.
Yeah. When you could take the subfaction that gives them was it Iron Hands or whatever?
For the 6 up FMP.
But absolutely. I just mean it's one of those things where you wouldn't because there's just so many other better options for a star days.
But people with like Harlequins and stuff, going back to them, guys, please, for the love of God, stop taking Frozen Stars. Try Soaring Spite. Stop falling into the Timmy traps. Harlequins are already good in melee. Your basic guy has 4 attacks. You put a specialism on him, that's 5 attacks. You don't need any help with melee. Stop, guys. Stop. Put guns on those models.
You want to give them something they don't already have.
What is missing from their game? Shooting. Put Soaring Spite on them. Give them fusions. Kill stuff. Okay, so when something is outside of a statistical charge range, even with your 3d6, you want to say to yourself, okay, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12, something like that, that's getting iffy. Do I want to take the chance or do I just want to swarm with these 5 guys, put them into cover? They're all overlooking. Yes, they only have 1 shot, but guess what? They're advancing now with no penalty and they can get into cover and put all 5 guys with those pistols onto the, you know, 1 or 2 that are on that objective. Boom, clear them off, and charge from there.
So for people who don't know, though, this subfaction, it turns their pistols into assault ones, right?
Yes, they can advance and still shoot.
I mean, still, yeah. So you're still taking a negative one, but you can advance.
They advance. They don't take any penalties.
Oh, they ignore the advance penalty, kind of like Metallica or whatever.
They're like Eldar. They can move, and it counts as if they basically didn't move. You know?
Got it. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so...
Similar to Metallica for ADMAC, right? Like,
right.
As far as, like, it makes it so you ignore that penalty. Okay, got it.
Yeah. So underneath Necrons, you know, Harlequins was 35 out of 47. Necrons, 33 out of 47. Next is Thousand Suns at 33 out of 47. So tied with Necrons, you know, what should be just as good is God dang it. Thousand Suns. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Which, I mean, we've seen them do pretty good, right?
They're good. Everybody knows they're good. But it's just interesting to see them at the bottom in terms of,
They lack options, but the options they have are just really strong, right?
Which makes sense.
That's the biggest thing about them.
That's kind of like what we're getting in.
They only have like three stat blocks, but those three stat blocks are pretty solid. And they have some decent options when it comes to like weaponry kind of thing.
So guard, I'm still, you know, I have to go back and confirm some things, but 32 out of 47. They are not, you know, looking amazing there, but there's the things that they do have is very exceptional.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Does the markers, are you including commanders, or this is just base units, elites, and normal units?
This is just base stuff, elites.
So do you not have a marker for psychic round? Because
yeah, I do.
Okay, then how did Tyranids get a perfect score? Did they get it because they can deny, or they have the negative to the...
Because
none of them do psychic abilities, do they, other than their commanders and stuff?
Because they scored exceptional.
Oh, they scored exceptional in other places.
Yes, in other places.
I got you. I forgot about that. Okay.
Yep.
I just have to remember how it works. Like I said, it's not like
47 out of 47 means they have everything. It could be like they only had two things or whatever, but it was amazing. You know, it wouldn't be that much because it's only two points for an exceptional.
I know what you're saying.
The things that they did have, they have it good enough with things like movement and things like that.
Pretty much everybody got the way that Tau got no in combat, everybody got no in psychic other than the few that have it.
There was a thing on, I believe, can they contribute something to that? Do they have like Shadow in the Warp, things like that, which again is a thing that Tyranids have, or there's certain things too, like Servants of the Abyss.
Do they get any kind of I guess defense to psychic or like
it counted in that same bracket would be like the icon on the Chaos Space Marines, because so like they don't actually have a psyker, but they do have that icon, they can participate in that a little bit. But then second to last place, can you guess what it is?
Well, you haven't done all the factions yet, right? Because I didn't hear Elus City and Star Striders yet.
Oh, I haven't tested them yet. Screw up Elus City.
Okay. So what are my options in the last two? Because I don't even know.
I'm just going to tell you what they are.
Okay.
So Grey Knights is second to last with 30 out of 47.
Yeah.
Just the versatility, there wasn't a lot there. The things that they do very well. Yeah. They have that psychic phase. They're scoring exceptional in psychic, all of that. But 30 out of 47 because it's like, their movement, they're not over 6 inches on anything. Like, things like that, right?
The only assault weapon they have is a flamer.
Yeah, they don't have fly. Like, just the things that that are other markers that are buffing other teams. And then so last place, bottom of the barrel, which is funny because I see these as one of the grossest, depending on format, is Demons with a score of 26 out of 47. The only one that wasn't even 30 or above, and I took second place with Demons.
Well, they really don't have any shooting options. Right?
Is the big thing.
They take a whole knock on the shooting, other than their little pink guys with their assault weapons, but they really have no shooting options or anything.
Right. This is kind of like a cautionary tale, right? Is because here I've done the best that I could to make a tier list and to go through with actual numbers and, things that I can point to, references and all this stuff. And this is a team that's in last place that I won a tournament with the first time I ever played them. I didn't win a tournament, actually. I took second place. You won that tournament. But I had never played them before.
Hold on. I won the tournament with what is the second to last faction. So I won with Grey Knights in that tournament. So,
yes. Even at the best, the best attempt that I could give as somebody who's talked about this game months before it even dropped, we are still at an inconclusive place. So do not believe what you read online about X team being, underpowered. It could be just a crappy player is the only one that's running them. It could just be the format. I mean, it could be a lot of things, guys.
There
do not
so
close yourself
factors.
Off.
It could even be. It could even be that in your meta, you guys are playing a rule incorrectly, right? Like, we saw tons of that at our bigger tournaments when people are like, oh, this is the way me and my friends have been playing it for months because they didn't have, you know, or people who didn't even know that the errata or the FAQ had come out and changed something for a faction or changed something. You know, I know people who were still running Tau drones at Toughness 3, I think, because they were changing the initial, you know, things like that. So, you know, there's a number, there's so many factors when it comes to this game. And at the end of the day, as we always talk about, it is a dice game, and there's certain things like, you know, there was a Grey Knight who made it LVO top 8, and I was a gamer, I think like a game or two or a few rolls out myself, right, with Grey Knights. But the thing about it is, if your psychic goes well, which is like a dice roll, right, it's a 50-50 out of action, basically, like, because it's almost always going to go off. Although if you talk to, gosh, I can't remember, who's the other AdMech player from the Fly By Nights group? I'm blanking AdMech? On his name right now.
Alex?
Not Alex, but the other AdMech player. She was at LVO too. He doesn't play there all the time, but he plays there sometimes. But I played him at LVO, and I think 3 out of 4 turns I got, or maybe all 4 out of 4 turns, I rolled double ones or double sixes and had to spend a reroll on it, which is just like, you know, the chances of that happening are supposed to be so small, and then it happened a number of times in one game. That just, you know, there's a lot of factors that come into
Agreed.
It, right? Like, there's just so many factors that play into it where, like, and that's like Emmanuel in our group. A lot of people like would be like, oh, you know, orcs aren't that good or whatever it was. Like, there was, I mean, only one way to play them, right?
Yeah.
And then he ended up getting into the finals and winning at SCO. Or, you know, not a lot of people out there playing AdMech. I know you've been calling for him for a long time, but Alex was in the finals and got second at LVO. Like, you know, things like, you know, even before this, we were talking about how good we thought Necrons were going to be and, you know, certain things. But even Glass Half Dead getting into the top at LVO, he didn't think he was going to be there, and he didn't take the quote unquote like meta list that is going on right now.
Yeah, I told him that Necrons were going to be good and hold.
Well,
the kill.
He knew that. I mean, yeah. I mean, you guys, and I think that was your guys' talk where you talked about your
and
favorite.
It's funny
because
he told me
LVO.
Tyranids, and now I'm coming back around. I'm looking at them. I don't know. I'm starting to think about them.
Well, but, you weren't gonna take demons until like two days before LVO too, right? Like, I mean, it's just. And it's just, you got to look at what certain sub-factions can do, right? Like, so there was, you know, there was talk, you love Custodes in that LVO packet as well, but there were things like Reconnaissance, which is holding two board edges. There were a number of map types on that setup where the objectives were close enough to the edges of the board that you could put a Custodes with a 3-man team and still have two board edges covered while still advancing up the field. There were things like for demons, the ability for reconnaissance and recon sweep. If you dropped one pink into the back of your opponent's deployment zone, you were getting recon and reconnaissance.
Yes.
Reconnaissance and recon sweep, rather, from one model. And if that model died, he popped out two models. And if those models died, he popped out more.
It and they were possibly on an objective.
Yeah. So, like, you took so much away from that, right? Like, so it's some of these little things that you really, when you're preparing for a tournament or, you know, you're thinking about a tier list kind of thing, you got to think about how you're playing against them, right? Like, if you're playing an arena, Tau aren't, I mean, there are options for Tau, obviously. You know, a lot of people think about the Crisis suit with 3 flamers, which I'm still not, you know, pulling super strong on. But, you know, Tau rails aren't nearly as efficient in arena as they are in open board. Things like that.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, your buddy might be destroying you left and right with his team and might be making you think that your team is weak. But really, just look online. Look at some packets. Find a different packet. Play your buddy on a different packet and see how things go. Try a different mission. Try something different with your team that you haven't been doing. You know, this leads into so many other conversations that we want to have, too.
Right. And we should probably move on. But, I mean, the thing about it is I would just say, like, it kind of makes me sad to see this kind of stuff online because a new player isn't going to think to question that. And the fact of the matter is when you see somebody saying that a team is low tier or whatever – however you've seen a faction perform, that's their story, not your story. So you don't need to have the same story. You might see something different. You might say to yourself, holy crap, the Stern Guard Sergeant can take 2 chainswords and a Storm Bolter for 16 points when nobody else had seen that before, which just happened, you know, very recently in the game's history. And then after learning that, I was like, oh, crap. The veteran sergeant can do the same thing, who's the company veteran, you know, sergeant or whatever from the same data sheet.
Yeah.
So 16 points you get, you know, each you get 2 guys with 2 chainswords and 4 shots. So that's 5 attacks before a specialism. in melee with four shots outside of that. Talk about a horde killer. You know, 16 points each.
Yeah, you look at the stuff you were doing with Deathwatch, right? Or the things that, like, you know, like Alex knows, Alex Admech, he knows his Admech in and out, and he started using those blue boys a lot more than anybody else was, right?
Yeah.
And I still personally think that Plasma is the way to go, but obviously he's made it to the tops of a bunch of tournaments in our small group and on the major, major tournament field that. Obviously, his way works too, right? He thought differently about the team than other people were thinking about it. You look at even our buddy Mike in our local meta with his Death Watch. The whole thing about putting your guns in reserve and just bringing them in on your own board edge, like, obviously it works better with certain teams or certain weapons, but like just making sure that you're giving yourself shots in that first turn, you know, like looking at the way that you know, even talking to Shane from Command Point, he was saying, you know, when he talked to some of the guys from our group initially, you know, a lot of our people were saying like, oh, we don't really use that many deep strike mechanics because we don't, right? We like using the CP in other ways. But in their group, he said people were using the crap out of them, right? Like they were using them like every single game. So it really just depends on how you're playing or how you're seeing it or how you're thinking about your team. Like there's a lot of other ways, like just copying the top tier meta list, right? Like go for something like Eldar. A lot of people take Michael Holy's list and then they just run it, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's a factor, right? But you got to know how to run it. You got to know in what area of the board to put this mod or whatever. Like just copying a top tier list isn't always going to make your team the best, you know what I mean? Or like a top tier team on this list like Astartes isn't going to be good unless you put the work into it, because there's so much available to Astartes it like gives me a headache just thinking about it, you know?
I mean, but here's the interesting thing, right, is I wouldn't also say to the new player completely discount these meta, you know, top type teams.
Not at all,
because you can kind of see what's working and try to find out why and then try to grow on that. You know, certain things.
Yeah, you've got to start somewhere.
Yeah, certain units will just fit your playstyle. Like for me, the little Jango Fett guys and the Space Marines, honestly, they are making it hard to go to any other faction now because this unit, that guy that's, you know, the company veteran, or I'm a Vanguard veteran, I should say, with the jump pack dual plasma pistols, he just fits so well. And then now it's like, holy crap, you put, he's 2 points cheaper if you put grav pistols on instead, make him a demo, and he's just, out of this world. Dude.
Yeah.
Killing himself.
Now you're working around that unit, right? And you're building other things around it. And that's something too that like with Tau, right? Like when I look at Crisis, which again I'm still not a huge fan of, just you know, but even running it in some of these new formats, trying the whole protect the Crisis stint, you know, president list with the, you know, the three cyclic ion and things like that, is like you build out that unit that you really want to be the star or whatever, and then you kind of see what else you can fit within those 100 points or 125 points, and you know what it does for you. Like, what do you need? Okay, you need this. Now what do I need? Like, what else do you need on the list? Okay, I need somebody to screen, or I need somebody to get into melee, I need somebody to do this, you know.
Yeah.
Which brings up, like I said, the two things that I was gonna, you know, if we want to discuss them, I don't know, but the you know, the out of the box kind of stuff, the underused units or the underused sub-faction.
Let's talk about that, because I mean there's going to be stuff that we can talk about with that, you know. This is kind of the thing, is you know, it leads into that, good, right? Because here we're talking about there are going to be units sometimes that just fit you, you got to be open to those things. So just because some people aren't running a certain unit, like right now people are very down on Terminators, well, Terminators would be a perfect example, because if you're going against a faction that has no or very little AP, you've got a guy with two wounds in it and a two up save, all of a sudden that is boss. It's just when it starts to have AP, which elites, custom sub factions, things like that, you know, have changed.
It can also depend on how many models they have, right? If they tie up that one guy with, you know, 2 7-point models, then you know a 30-year team is down for the count or whatever it is, stuck on this, you know, one thing. But
yeah, well, it's like you got to think too though, like the format matters, because they have to get kills and hold and kill. So it's kind of like, ooh, that's interesting to have that two wound guy, two up save. But we've done things, you know, that like TO's adding custom sub factions that are not made by GW, that, you know, add extraneous AP, and they change certain things. So some of these units are less useful because of that kind of a thing. It's not even necessarily...
Yeah, like some teams who had no AP now have all their zero AP weapons changed to AP 1 or whatever it is.
Yeah, so things some like things that, have changed a little bit, you know, and will continue to change depending on the faction you're playing. But that's just a thing. You know, that's always going to be a thing. Each packet is going to change a few things for you.
Well, for instance, like, you know, the new LVO packet that has been put out by Kill Team Stream, one of the biggest things I see when I look at that is the fact that every team's getting one extra CP per turn. So my biggest thing was took to my elites book, or not my elites book, my annual, and looking at all
tactics.
Yeah, I don't know why I couldn't think of what they're called. All the tactics the teams have, because one extra CP could make some things, you know, death denied, you're going to be able to use it every turn, or like just little things, like even like Thousand Suns have one where like if an enemy's near your leader or something, it's like one CP on a four up, they take a mortal wound. Like, I'd be a lot more likely to use that if I have an extra CP every turn, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Little ones that you wouldn't use, but maybe in rare instances, you have a lot more opportunity to use now.
Yeah. Well, you've got to reevaluate each faction and now each tactic once again, just like fresh, right? Because the whole three CP is a big thing. So for the people that are listening that might not be aware, the LVO beta pack is now a thing. And one of the changes that is being presented for possible inclusion is a 3 CP thing, right? So it's basically 2 CP a turn plus 1 if you have your leader on the board. What I am finding when I look at that is that certain factions, there is a disparity and resources that are available to different factions. This is what we've just been talking about with the tier list. Some teams are at 47 out of 47. Some are at 26 out of 30, you know, 47, whatever. And it's kind of like that with tactics, right? Some factions don't have amazing things. Some things really do. And some things are also very CP hungry. They leverage that and rely on that to win. And are already doing fairly well, and then now they're going to be getting better because of that extra CP. So it's
now
they massive.
Can use, now things like, you know, people have always said the ad mech idea that you have, right? Where you have the guy who can do the extra attacks and you use the tactic that's
for sure.
Hit on fours or whatever it is, and then all of his four ups are actually giving him an extra attack. That thing, the biggest retort that you got more than anything else about that list was that's a lot of CP to spend on that, right?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that was one of the biggest things that you got in response to that. Well,
yes.
If you have an extra CP every turn, that's not as much CP to use towards that now. You know what I mean? Like, that's not...
Absolutely.
That becomes a lot more viable than even when it was viable before, but now it becomes almost like, well, now I don't even have to think about spending that 2 CP because I'm going to have...
I still got a CP for my reroll, you know, on a plasma that I overcharged and missed or whatever. There's a, you know, ad mech are not very CP hungry. They're using things for rerolls and things like that. Yes, they had renit circuitry and some of this stuff that is now nerfed, you know, anyway. But it's just they have never, in my eyes, been a very CP hungry or CP intensive faction, which allowed you to leverage for some of these big things that they can do because they do have some very competitive tactics, you know, and now on top of the canticles and the advancing and, you know, shooting plasma with no penalties, whatever, top of all of that, now all of a sudden they're going to have the ability to do some of these things. So just, you know, kind of a thing to talk about here is to reevaluate. Don't assume. I think like earlier you were just talking about reserves, right? This is open board again. It's not going to be a big thing for you to come out of reserves 5 inches away with Meltas as Imperial
for
Guard.
Spending one CP, and you can get a lot of these tactics are one CP.
Yes.
And you bring down three guys.
Yes.
For one CP. And most of them, besides, I think there's a few that like they have to be like the Eldar, the Webway one, I think where it allows you to take any three units, they have to be within 2 inches of each other or whatever. But most of the other ones, like you can drop them on all different parts of the board. So like
absolutely.
You can put one, like as Guard, you were saying, you can put one plasma to shoot one guy, another plasma to shoot another guy, et cetera, et cetera. I know for Tau, they, it's like I can drop a Crisis suit and like two drones.
Yeah, but, dude. You can. It's like the Mantis Strike, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So people have to think about what this means to be set up across from you, right? For example, if you're running something with a rapid fire profile, your storm bolters, your bolters, I mean, so many things in the game are rapid fire, your most plasmas, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
If you advance with that weapon and thus cannot shoot, you better expect somebody to drop a Melta or a plasma or something 5 inches away and light you up.
Oh yeah.
So that's kind of like what this is going to mean for you now. in the game, like maybe more than it did before. So to kind of like unpack this mentally and think about what this now entails in terms of somebody setting up across from you. What are they going to be trying to do now?
Potentially lead to more models readying that turn.
Correct.
Waiting for that thing to come in. Like, okay, if you're going to bring it in, I'm at least going to give myself a shot at you before you get to murder my guy, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because I'm like, I'm building guard, right? I'm going to have plasmas and things like that. But now I know if I advance one guy, there needs to be people behind that are readied. And then next turn, I can ready the guy who advanced this turn and run up those guys from behind. But you got to cover your ass basically now, because if you had run with rapid fire, you're in trouble, you know, unless you're playing like Talarn or something like that.
Which
I will be playing Talarn.
But even then, you know, depending on what the initiative is too, because initiative leads to who's going to do their deep strike first, right? So it's like they could deep strike in a guy, and then you could be like, well, I'm going to deep strike in my guy, so that now they have to make a hard choice between your deep strike unit that will also shoot them or the unit that they were going to shoot initially that they set up to kill, right? Like, now they actually have to, you know, making people make a hard decision, right? Like, do you shoot the thing with the deadlier gun or the thing that's less likely to survive? Like, you know, all kinds of questions like that, right? Like, if I drop a crisis suit in, well, that thing's got three wounds and I've got a shield drone or two behind it, you know that it's going to survive, right? So your guns probably shouldn't be aiming at that, but its guns might be aiming at you, you know? So,
and you got to think too, like the guy, what I was just talking about with that bumping and bounding coming from, you know, the actual military using that tactic of like a guy advancing under cover from somebody else, and then he gets to a point, sets up you cover, and the other come back up, you know, to meet him. You got to think that the other guy's going to be doing that too. So again, it's like the counter to the counter starts to come in, and you got to think, okay, well, where am I at on initiative for who shoots first? Or can I just be out of range, perhaps? Admech plasmas are only 18-inch range. My plasmas as guard or marine or whatever are 24-inch. I can sit at 19 inches completely outside of their range if I'm going second, is a thing.
You know, won't get both your shots, though, right?
Yes. And then now, here's a thing. We're talking about that extra CP. Decisives, dude. Decisives are not... Yeah. Completely out of the question a lot of times, because like example used to be when you would advance a veteran specialist, I could counter charge into that veteran specialist or just let you come in, say, come on in, I'll get my Overwatch shots and then I'll get some guys on you. And it was a free point basically, because I would always swing first against that veteran because he had 2 CP. He paid 1 CP. He does not have 2 CP now to decisive in the fight phase. I do.
Decisive strike,
So, that's the thing. So he comes in, you still hit first, but now that is not the case.
Now so, he's going to have decisive, and you both end up spending 2 points, and then you'll have to do a roll off, and then
Now RNG rather than player skill and calculation in that respect against the veteran.
Yeah, it comes down to certain things being like, you know, where it just depends on how certain people look at the game too, right? Like, whereas like, in my opinion, just where the game sits, like, yeah, having more CP definitely allows you to use more stuff. It'll be, you know, there's the potential for more fun. But at the same time, you also look at it where you see some of these clutch CP uses where like that's how they're kind of meant to be. Like, you use them in a single situation, not in every turn kind of thing, right? Like, they're supposed to be in this situation. We just saw in the finals of the last, or the semifinals for the last CTS tournament, right, where a player used a decisive move, and they chose, of the two models they could have chosen for that decisive move, they obviously, we saw as the game played out, they chose the wrong thing, right? They chose one model that probably could have made a charge no matter what, whereas their other model had his target fall back and go behind a door and close it or whatever, you know, where he, and that would have been a very clutch moment had he used that decisive move differently. Whereas now it's like, oh, every turn I'm just going to use decisive move just to, you know, or like I can. Like, I, there's, you know, so it'll depend, right? I haven't played enough of it to get a clear-cut idea yet. And also I've been playing it all on Tabletop Simulator, which it's a great tool for what this current situation we're in, and it's allowed me to meet a lot of cool people and play a lot of games that I wouldn't have played, you know, but it's not perfect. And so playing on Tabletop Simulator is different than playing it on in person, just, you know, so.
Yeah, but the thing about the extra CP is that it kind of limits the skin in the game aspect. Because, like, right, to do that decisive, it cost you something. Now I cannot do X because I did A, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's kind of now what the skin in the game is that I can't do an amazing tactic because I did this amazing tactic, but I can still do things like a decisive or whatever, right?
Yeah, you've got it in your back pocket now, whereas before you had to make a decision of one or the other.
It was hard choices. You were like, crap, I'm leaving out a Marine 17 points to make sure I'm 10 points under to start under strength to have that 3 CP. Yeah. Like, it meant something, you know?
Well, and it's also things like Fire and Fade or things like that that are really useful would still be, even at 1 CP, is super under-costed. But now that you have an extra CP every turn, like, becomes even more of like a, oh, of course, you know, I'm going to use this. Or teams, again, I've been harping on Eldar for forever, but Eldar have so many good options that are 1 CP. You know, a lot of teams have a lot of like decent options that are 1 CP that are very situational, or you might not use every turn, but now like it just become even easier to use. Like I was saying, for the Thousand Suns, like that one where if you're on their leader, they can do a mortal wound to you, right? Or like the Colts, I played Colts the other day on that, practicing it, and like he had this, I was just playing against my Custodes, and I only have 3 models, and only one of them got into combat turn 1, my veteran, go figure. So it's like, of course, he used this Caustic Daze or something like that. I forget what it was, but he like basically his acid spit in my face, and on a 4
the gene stealer?
I lost. Yeah, I lost one, or whatever it was. It was a tactic where I lost one of my attacks.
Yeah, so you were down
from
to
4 attacks to 3 attacks or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, for my my veteran, he went from 3 to 2, whatever it was. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh man, like, you know, that's not something that in a normal game you probably wouldn't see that as much. But with that extra CP, he was like, well, yeah, I'm going to roll the dice on it and really take away from something that you only have 3 models. So I'm taking away 30% of the attacks on a third of your, you know, army kind of thing. You know, like when you look at it percentage-wise, it takes away a lot more in that situation. So, but I mean, that's a tactic I didn't even know they had. He had another tactic where he reset up a model in his own deployment zone after I killed it.
Oh, absolutely. And that's 3 CP, right?
Yeah.
The Cult Innumerable. Yeah, that's an amazing tactic, but it's 3 CP, you know.
And you still have to roll for it.
And
too,
it's not a specialist. It cannot be a specialist.
Yeah, yeah. So it was.
There are some things there, but I mean, that could be huge, right? That could be a 18 point aberrant or something.
Yeah.
That's just like, here I am, I'm back. So, but that starts to get into like, it would need rulings for now that you're going to start to see that kind of a thing. You've got to know where you stand on the hold and kill, you know, primary aspect. We're going to have to bug Sheldon to make that part of the FAQ for LVO. Because we've got to know, does that give a kill point to the other guy now? Or does that count as the same model?
If he resets up the model, I think it literally says on that tactic that it still counts as a casualty at the end.
At the end of combat, you got to think, though, that this game was written for narrative, and that's part of the campaign. You would still need to roll to see if he was.
Gotcha. The way we did it, we counted it as a casualty, because the way that it's worded, it made it seem like it counts as a casualty still, even for the sake of breaking, right? Like, it adds it to his team, but that other one died. You just got another one in its place, but that other one still counts as a death. That's how we played it. Yeah. We could have played it wrong.
Here's another thing, right?
He won anyway, but but that's,
well, Gene Steeler cults should always win. But yeah, I mean, here's another thing, right? We need to know how that interacts with the war gear of the demolition charges, because it says that that's a one time per use per guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
I thought it's one time use per game. Oh, it's per guy, though.
So like, I can take 4 of those guys.
Yeah, yeah. He would get to use it again, I assume.
I don't know, right? It basically, if it's giving a kill point, he would get to use it again. If it's not giving a kill point and counting as the same model, he should not get to use it.
Then he wouldn't. Okay.
So right, yeah, fair enough. It's like we need to find out what
more
the ruling.
Factors, right?
Yes, we got to find out.
More.
Like, how that's going to be handled? Does that count as a kill?
Which comes down to tier lists again too, right? Like, oh, that one change in an FAQ could affect how you'd run that team, which could affect how they'd move in that tier list for that packet, you know? So there's a lot of factors when it comes out there to basically choose a team that you're going to enjoy playing. If you're all about winning, there are definitely some meta lists and some powerful teams out there that you could just copy and go off of.
Yeah.
But if you want to have a good time, I'd say play what you like. Cause like, I would say Drukhari were far from any kind of team that I was interested in until just this new list that I've been working on, looking at, like, you know, less used models. And I'm more into the team now than I was before. And this isn't the meta team that everybody's currently running. I still think it's a fairly good team, but it's not meta, but it's more to my playstyle. Like you were saying with that pistol guy that you fell in love with, you like that model. Maybe somebody else isn't using him, or like the Intercessor Sergeant with the full-on Thunder Hammer, right?
Yeah.
Not a lot of people are running that. It's an expensive thing. But if you like how that plays and it does some work for you,
yeah,
maybe it works some games, maybe it doesn't. Kind of, you know, just
yeah,
play what you enjoy. Play what you're going to have fun throwing down on the table. If your buddy's beating you every single game, there's probably something there that you can figure out, like a mission. Play a different mission. Play something that's not whatever you've been playing. Like try to have him do something that's outside of his comfort zone. Like if whatever packet you've been playing – he keeps destroying you, and maybe your teams aren't as balanced in that format. Try a different format.
Yep.
Let him lose the one.
And I mean, you know? Pro tip for those listening that are new is kind of like, you should probably have three teams in one of each major archetype. You should have a shooty, horde, you should have an elite, and you should have a spammy positional. You know, so like,
I mean, yeah.
Because
yes,
then you're
going to
find out your
play
style, right? Because for me, I went into this game doing Tyranids and Cults and things like that and found out I really like elite. I really like Death Watch and Space Marines.
No, elites are fun.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. So
it's less bandwidth, man. Less models, less bandwidth.
And now I know, okay, shooty hordes are the kind of like in between and stuff. So I can take, now that I'm, you know, I'm decent with a horde and I'm decent with a melee thing, I can go to the shooty horde. They're going to have some melee, just, you know, concentrate on like a couple guys. They have some of the bodies, they have the range, you know, but it's like it teaches you a lot to mess around with those different archetypes, and it lets you kind of figure out. Because I didn't know at first that I would love Space Marines as much as I do.
Yeah.
I was all Mr. Tyranid and stuff. So that's the thing.
To be fair, now more than ever with Tabletop Simulator, it's a great time to try different teams too, because you don't have to, I mean, I don't know, you know, if anybody, I don't know, you're, you know, I don't want to advertise too much to affect any kind of, you know, relationships you have outside in the gaming world, but Tabletop Simulator allows you to try different things that you might not own without owning the models. To be fair, right, my ability to, some people would say, you know, because I know there's, you know, intellectual property involved and all that kind of stuff, but at the same time, I've tried two teams now in Tabletop Simulator, in Custodes and the Drukhari team that I've been messing around with.
Yeah.
I'm gonna certainly buy both of those teams now. Like, I want to own them because I enjoyed the way that I played them on Tabletop Simulator. But I would not have just flat out bought them and then tried them out to see if I liked them, because I think to get all the models I need for the Drukhari team is going to be like $160. Like, I wouldn't have dropped that money and then found out that I didn't like them. But I've only played three games of them so far. I'm going to give it some more time, but I'm enjoying how they play.
So
now I'm more likely to go out and actually buy the models for when we get to get back to real life.
So. Yeah, I think it's kind of like similar here. It's funny because I haven't really tried anything terribly new. Like everything that I've done, I actually have the models for. So it's
Well, you just also own a ton of models.
Yeah.
Like, to the point that you're like, hey, do you want this? I'm giving away these models. Hey, do you
an
need
entire
this?
Demon like, team? Here you go.
Oh, I built this whole Eldar team, but then I didn't want to play it. So let's make a deal. You know, like stuff like that. So you just own a lot of stuff, Chris. So to be fair, it'd be difficult. It'd be hard pressed for you to play something you didn't own a few models for already.
Yep. But next avenue for me is Guard. And I'm very excited
Which
about them.
Which you already own the models for without playing it. You haven't played them on TTS,
Dude,
have you?
Yeah, I built some Krieg stuff and I gave that away too.
Okay.
I had some Krieg stuff and gave that away. And now I'm doing Talarn, because that's the thing, is I've wanted Talarn since like 2015. When I first got into the game, I was looking at them, but they were all out of print already and only metal and things like that. And then also the thing about that is they did one of those like made to order things, limited edition on GW's site, where you could get some of these regiments that were out of print, and Talarn was one of them, but they weren't even fine cast, dude. They were still going to be metal, and I worry about transporting that. Like, by that
time,
I was already playing tournaments, and so it's like, do I really want that, you know, knocking around against another team? Maybe I have two in the bag or something like that. Like, Tyranids, playing Tyranids and transporting Tyranids makes you terrified to take things out of the house, because it's like every dang time I open that case, I gotta glue stuff.
Dude, also, yeah, like, you, I mean, you just have bad luck though too, right? Like that time you picked up that case and like your death watch all fell out,
dude,
or like,
yes.
Or like, I mean, also, like, I mean, I'm scared now too that I've been building some of those AdMech models. God, they are so pointy and spindly, and like,
yes,
just like, I feel like they're gonna die. But I was gonna say, I'll have to find it, but my buddy Robin, who was at SCO, he did a really awesome Talarn team, and I know he used some, I think he used some bolt action, like North African desert, you know, World War II troop kind of stuff mixed in with it that he used that was pretty cool. He had a really cool Ogryn too that he made for Talarn. His Talarn models were super sick. I want to show you them just so you can see, like, you know, maybe some inspiration involved there. But he did some really cool stuff with them too. So
yeah, but our buddy is 3D printing from a company that were basically, I bought the STL files, and you know, because they have like a subscription kind of a service type thing.
Yeah, yeah. Where
and
you
it's
can
like
buy the
yeah, file. So you buy the files or whatever, and I'm gonna review them probably on the channel when they come. But I'm getting 100 of those, and then I'm gonna kit bash. It's still gonna be like, here's the thing.
100.
Yes, dude, for big hammer.
Oh my lord. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So, but that's the thing, right? Is I think it's gonna take one Gene Stealer cult neophyte to make one of those, despite the fact that I have the 3D printed head and torso. I still need arms, weapons, and legs. So I wonder how, like, at a GW shop they would feel about that, because it's kind of like, well, it's one to one for every one of these
how
that you
often
see.
Are you going in and playing at a
Never.
GW shop anyway? There you go. Don't worry.
I would like to, if they would have more match play kind of stuff. But the local shop dropped the ball on Kill Team and didn't support it. You know,
yeah, I don't know, man. I speak for myself and not for the Beerinid podcast, but I mean, I'd love it if GW stores were more welcoming. But I remember, like, they told people they couldn't paint with non-GW brushes or put your cases back in your car after you take your models out of their non-GW cases. Stuff like that is just like, I don't know, that makes me like, that doesn't endear me to go to your store and play your game. So.
Yeah,
but
yeah. And plus, you know, it's just the fact of the matter is that the local guys that are playing Kill Team are not playing there. They're playing at Darkside, Emerald Knights, and Paper Heroes.
Yeah,
and
they're
stuff,
playing
so.
at the local game stores, friendly local gaming stores, kind of, you know, thing. Which, I mean, to be fair, right, there were a handful of people playing there. I went and played in one tournament there. It just wasn't, you know, and it was also straight out of the book, like tournament packet kind of stuff, like missions that like are not competitive missions and things like that, you know. So.
Yeah.
It wasn't the best experience. It wasn't the worst experience. It was more just, yeah, like some of the little things that I saw that like kind of turned me off of, like, I get why they have to do it, right? Like that's their, you know, but at the same time, it's like, man,
yeah, manager's going to do his job, but that just,
yeah,
you know,
not,
leads.
You're not making a customer out of me. And it's unfortunate, right? Because that's what he has to do. But now it's like, you're taking money out of your own pocket, because I'm going to turn around and I'm going to be like, well, I don't have to deal with that. You know, I can go somewhere else and take my business elsewhere. So.
And they still get paid at the end of the day, right? Because you're buying GW stuff just at another shop.
Yeah,
but it's another shop
paid,
where I can do LVO prep.
Yeah. But also the GW still makes the money because I'm still buying a GW product. But, you know, all those stores have quotas and stuff that they're supposed to, you know, sell a certain amount. I'm sure he'd prefer I'm buying his stuff from his local GW, you know what I mean? GW on the whole doesn't really mind, but for him, for his quotas, for his, you know, him, the guy who is managing the store getting more money, I think, you know, he's a lot happier if I'm buying it from his store. But I just haven't had any good experiences, like even going back to like way, way back when I played in third edition, like there was a store, I think, in San Pedro area, Edge of San Pedro or like Harbor City or whatever. And I remember going there once or twice and it just was not nearly as good of an experience as we had at our local gaming store. So,
yep. So, hey, GW, if you're listening, just maybe a couple things you can tweak.
Yeah.
You know, get some more players in your store.
To be fair, right? Like they don't want me to use my non-GW case. I wanted to buy one of those super cool little Kill Team cases, but they ran out of them super quick and then they never produced them again. So,
yeah. Yeah, and it's not the same, right? Like, they made one for Shadow Spear or something like that. And it's like, I don't want to put my Kill Team stuff in a Shadow Spear box. Come on.
Yeah. I wanted the Kill Team one. It was a cool little case. It was a soft but hard shell case or whatever it is. You know, like, I forget what they call it. But, and it, like, it had the Kill Team logo on it. Like, it looked super awesome. But I got into Kill Team, like, you know, 6 months after the fact, and all that stuff was super gone. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. So, we're getting to an hour 20. What else should we talk about today?
I mean, if you want to go over, we can talk about Indominus units. We can talk about other underutilized units like the suppressors and things like that. Or like we can go more into what we were thinking about. We could talk about Adepticon packet potentially, or we might want to wait to do that until you've maybe had more time to look over it. But they did release the packet even though Adepticon was canceled. Nova was canceled. I don't know if you've talked about that yet, but whether they will or will not release a packet, that could be something to discuss.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, let's talk about that really quickly. Is that as far as I know, they are talking about releasing that. Ben Cash, TO4.
Well, do you want to jump into this conversation like so you can cut around
no.
it or do you not?
Okay, no, that's
right,
fine.
Fair enough. All right.
Yeah. So Ben Cash, TO4 Nova, kill team is planning on that. As far as I know, he seems all like right, a very well, cool dude. He might actually come on the podcast sometime soon, so maybe we can talk about that a little bit when he comes on.
Yeah.
But we
Adepticon had already put out their packet, I think, even before they had to cancel. So people have been able to play that. But yeah, Nova, you know, because I mean, we're in August now, right? Like, we're a month out from when Nova should have been taking place, correct?
So, but he's still, I think, going to do something because they might do a thing like allow us to do like a TTS simulation or something like that, which would be very cool. And we know, right? Like, the format is likely hold and kill. We just don't know. There's
and likely 100 points.
Yes, that's the question mark. Did he want to jump to 125 because he's really good friends with Janice Gillum, and Janice has been playing 125 in the trenches with us.
And enjoying it as far as we know.
And probably playing some of these types of games with him as in prep and stuff like that. So he's probably dipped his feet in and tried tried some of these changes out and stuff like that. So that's just like there are some question marks, but we do probably know that that pack will be hold. And we'd go from there. Speaking of online, really quickly, one thing that I'd like to talk about that people might not be aware of is the introduction. The Command Point podcast, fellas, and Futter, or we call him Tim, all that stuff, had an amazing idea for something, which is the introduction of ELO for ranking online games. So for people
it's
that
a
aren't
ranked system.
Yes. So if people aren't aware, when you go and you start up a thing on chess.com or whatever and you want to learn to play chess, they have a ranking system called ELO. You start at 1,000 points and you get paired up with people who are about similar rank. So you start at 1,000 and you can go under that. Each loss, you lose a little bit. You know, you can get a draw. If you draw, usually you're not going to lose anything if it's against a similarly ranked player. But if you draw against somebody who is way better than you, like if it's a 2,500 player that is just like a world champion and you cause him to say yes to a draw, you're going to get a lot of points from that. Similarly, that player would lose points on the draw. But usually you're looking at, just a few points on a win, a few points lost on a loss.
It's funny because you're a little bit showing, chess is the best example, I will say, but it is funny because I would say nowadays, like that's like an outdated example because you have games like League of Legends or things like that where you have a ranking system. And so when League of Legends first started, it was an ELO that you had. So I would say for anybody who is confused about the chess reference, if you play video games and there's any kind of ranked system, basically like you start out in Bronze League, you can work your way up to Silver League, you can work your way up to Gold League. So it's similar to that, and your ranking goes based on who you play. Like if you play better players, you earn more points toward it. Just like if you're in gold tier on League of Legends and you go up against a five stack and there's some bronze players in there or something mixed in and you lose that game, you might lose like 20 of your ranked points rather than like the five that you'd lose against somebody that you played against who was your own level. So it's a ranked system is all that it is. So,
but I think it's a great thing. Yeah, I go to chess because I'm a nerd and that's what I know.
Chess is the best example, but I mean, a lot of people, like a lot of younger people, I feel like chess is not like is not something a lot of young people are exposed to. Like they know chess exists, but like I bet you could ask like a number of people and they wouldn't know that it was like this huge like world champions and like all this. Like it's just people don't pay attention to that kind of stuff, you know?
Well, like because that's what we want this to be eventually, right? Is like there's a unified format. There's a governing body, like all of this stuff. And then there's rankings, and BCP and things like that. They do that. But, that's for like in person and going. Yeah. We're not playing on person right now.
It's for major tournaments. Too, right. So
And this can be, a pickup game or something. I can go on to the Command Point Discord, which I'll put a link in the show notes for you guys, and you can say looking for a game 125 this packet ranked, and yeah. you know, put your ranking up on the line against somebody else and accrue points. And it's really cool because it's kind of like what I view Kill Team as is a vector for self-growth, right? And this is a measurement for that. Because I can say, you know, hey, I ended 2020 at 1135, and now end of 2021, I'm, you know, 1260 or something. I can measure and say I've grown as a player. I've improved. And that's kind of like the thing that entices me the most, is how I can do that through pickup games. You're going to be getting that if you're playing TTS tournaments online now, starting with anything that the Command Point guys do from now on. It's just like a really kind of a cool thing. And then also, you don't have to do ranked in your pickup games. You can test out, like for me, I'm getting into Guard. My first game, I'm probably not going to jump on and do ranked. I'm probably going to want to feel them out, test them out, and Theory Hammer and things like that, and get things going. And then I can get up there and put my thing on the line and see how I do with them and stuff. So I just think it's really kind of cool. It's something that's new in the Kill Team community that we're all going to be working towards. And it's neat to kind of see this at the inception and to talk to, you know, Tim and Shane and everybody and, you know, kind of like what this means and what we're trying to do with it and the numbers and things like that. You know, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. You know, you guys watch a video or listen to a podcast or something like that are listening. You know, we're always working. You might not have seen a video for a week or two, but there's been a lot of things done recently to make sure that we continue to have games, whether it be online or offline, and to improve the quality of those games. You know, maybe a packet needs to be devised or something. Some things maybe aren't working that we've been doing, and so we need to kind of shift things around. Just stuff like that. But yeah, I'm excited for it. I think it's really cool, and I think it's something that anybody who's listening to this should probably kind of go and try it to be a part of.
Look into it, yeah. And you'll put a link for that, I assume, as well.
So it's just through the Command Point Discord. If you're playing a tournament through there, you're going to be automatically getting, you know, points and stuff for that.
As long as you post the results, it'll get added to the spreadsheet that we have going on.
Correct.
So,
and so that's the thing.
Make sure if you do play a game that you properly post your results.
Yeah. So outside of tournaments, it's optional. You can say, hey, I'm looking for a game, and you get to state whether you want to, you know, ranked or not. So it's really kind of a cool thing.
I assume that also, and I mean, I assume if it's successful, I assume that they might put a website together where you can report on there instead of having him have to go in and put it into the spreadsheet. I hope that, you know, if it's successful, that potentially when we get back to playing, in person, that, you and I can, when we meet up to play a few games with each other, that we could still report those as ranked games, you know, even if it's not a tournament. So I'm hoping that, and maybe there'll be a classification for Tabletop Simulator only versus in-person games only or something like that. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
it's still in its infancy. We'll get that figured out.
I'm hoping it'll be successful. I like it too. I think it's cool. It makes it so that if you're really soaked about a team or you really want to play, you're not having to wait for that next big tournament, or you're not, I guess, technically having to play that tournament packet. If there's something like, if you don't really enjoy Arena and you don't want to play on Bats, you can still play a bunch of normal games or, you know, quote unquote normal games on like an LVO packet or on a different open board packet, an Adepticon packet or whatever it is. You can play, and you can still get a ranking and get an idea of how well you're doing in the grand scheme of things, or like where you are against other players, even if you're not playing in certain tournaments, which is cool. So,
and that's kind of the crux of things too, right? Is going back to my, you know, dinosaur Gen X kind of a frame of mind. When I talk about like chess, there are rankings in chess. There are international grandmasters who have never won a chess tournament, because they're playing against, you know, Magnus Carlsen, who can beat a supercomputer with no problem. And so they're not going to necessarily win a tournament, but we're able to go and see that this player is a higher caliber, perhaps, than somebody in the 500 part of the ladder, and that maybe they shouldn't be paired up necessarily right away in a tournament. You know?
Yeah.
We want like to attract like, and to be able to put you against people that are a good fit for you so that you can grow. And again, we want you to also be able to play people who are better for you, but better than you, but to know it and to know how much they are better, perhaps, because you'll get better playing with people who are better than you. But you know, it would be also cool to be able to use this for pairings and things like that.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely to like to give better pairings at the start of a tournament kind of thing.
Right.
Like you can yeah. No,
because you can play at your level. And again, we want you to be able to play other people too that are better, because you'll learn more in those games. You know, when you're playing somebody who's a 500 and you're a 500, you're going to be asking, oh, what does this do again? And things like that. So the opportunity for growth isn't perhaps as much. But in a tournament, that also means that you're not getting wiped by, you know, a Michael Holy or somebody and going against like a number one type player. Who has won a lot of tournaments and is consistently in top eight.
Well, you might
like
be if you're lower ranked, because that's how ranking systems work, is the top player goes against the worst player.
But, you know, but that's the goal. The idea, hopefully, is for people to have the ability, I think, to one, gauge their improvement, to find out where they are at, and also two, to get better pairings and stuff. To not get like raffle stomped and be playing at your level and to have that opportunity to go higher and higher. So it's like I go in at as a 500, the baseline is 1,000 to start. So it's like I'm not you know, viewed as a great player at 500. But hey, if I win my first two matches and now I'm against 1,000 and I beat that, holy crap. You know, maybe I grew a lot in a few unranked games outside.
To be fair, I think I've learned more from my losses than I ever have from
absolutely.
My wins.
So that's
I learned
that's why
much more from the loss, because you're like, okay, that was the wrong way to play this. Like my game with the Crisis Suit the other day.
Yeah.
The Harlequin player played it perfectly, but it's just like there are ways that I could have counteracted what he did had I played my list differently. And it's just like, okay, now I see what he did, or what, you know, potentially another quick moving team or, you know, melee focused team could do to avoid this. How would I counter that? Okay, well, this is one thing I could do. That's another thing I could do. Like, you see the mistakes you made, and those resonate a lot more than like, had I just won the game, I wouldn't have looked back at that list and thought about it more critically, because I would have been like, oh, it worked. It did what it was supposed to do. Whereas now, like, I can see like, oh, it failed to do this, 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 and this. Now I need to figure out how I can get check marks on those boxes because I lost. You know, like, oh, you know, again, the idea of taking like a really strong meta list, copy pasting it, and then going into a game and then you lose and being like, oh, well, it was just the dice, or oh, well, it was just this. But like, if you're playing in this ranked system, you can see over time like, oh no, like, okay, this was the mistakes that I made and this is how I can improve. And yeah, no, it seems like a very cool system. I'm excited for it. You know, the tournaments can be a bit of a slog on TTS, but if it's just being able to pick up a casual game here or there, like, I like that. Just because being forced, not forced into, right? Like, you agree to play a tournament, but I know a number of people, even I think in the Fight Club, I think there was a handful of people who just forfeited like their final match or something like that, or a few matches. Just people were getting strung out on, you know, however many games we played in such a small period of time, because there was a group phase in Bats and then a group phase in the Fight Club, and then, like, you know, it's so many games over such a period of time that you were quote unquote forced to play because you signed up for this tournament, you got to play those games. But with this rank system where you can just agree to play a single game against somebody, it's a little bit more forgiving in that sense for me personally anyway.
Yeah, and so it's not like meant to be a gatekeeping kind of a thing, anything like that. You know, in fact, we, you know, would discourage that. But it's kind of neat to be able to track and to know, and to, again, like I was talking about with the tier list and things like that, verifiable data. You know, we want to be able to measure and track and things like that, because that that way we can kind of we can point to things and say, OK, well, like, for example, if Necrons are dominating a tournament and stuff, we can say, oh, well, I mean, yeah, these are 1850 ELO ranked players or something. Maybe it's not the faction. Maybe the faction doesn't need a huge
it's
nerf
really strong players,
or something as people who are calling for a nerf for a faction or something. Maybe we can say, well, you know, these guys are doing really, really well at, with anything. Or vice versa, right? Like, that was a thing at LVO last year with the big 40K tournament, the 8th edition, where they had players that were statistically, they should not have won what they won, but because they were running a list that, you know, gamed the system, you know, everybody was running this similar Iron Hands list, they had much higher than they should have, and that was a good indicator that something did need to change within the game system. Maybe it was a part of the win condition, a primary, something like that, a nerf to the faction itself. We can look and figure out, basically, we're able to hit a target better if we can see the target.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
more data. Yeah. I need to be better even just personally about, like, I need to start taking notes on my games again. I used to do that all the time. I had a notebook that I brought to all the tournaments with me, or, like, to even when we'd go play at, like, the local game store. I just had my notebook, and I'd take notes, and I'd put each turn, and I'd put, you know, what secondaries and who scored them, or, like, what specialists and this and that.
Yeah.
And I haven't done that in such a long time. I need to get better about that.
Like, same thing here, right? Like, people are seeing some of my games for the first time because I'm doing TTS and I'm recording them and stuff like that. And people can watch in the Discord. But it's not really the best representation of me as a player because I had been playing this pack since January and I'm just kind of, like, burnt out at this point and YOLOing things. Yeah. Like, you know, not playing the safe player because it's just hasn't been as fun for me to be grinding the same pack this many months in. So I'm just like making the fun through weird choices and stuff. So, you know, but so like, it's not like the best representation of things at the moment with the data that we've collated and stuff currently off just a few little local online tournaments. But over time, you know, once we return to things being serious and stuff like that, I think it's going to get, become a very cool
system. I look forward to seeing how it works, and it just also gives me the, you know, it gives some meanings to the games that we're playing outside of tournaments, right? Like, whereas it's just like, oh, this is just a game, like, maybe you're not taking it as seriously, you know, we're trying a lot of funky lists and doing a lot of things, but now it kind of, it also makes it so it's like, oh, this has some meaning to it. I can take it a little bit more seriously. Like, I know I'm going to play a ranked match tonight compared to I'm just going to dick around and throw some dice, you know? So
And that's what I was doing, basically, is dick around, throw some dice, but it was in a measured kind of a thing. Now we know.
Sure.
It's like, oh, this mattered. Okay. But yeah, brother, you know, we're over an hour and a half now. Is there anything that we didn't touch on that is kind of like mandatory to talk about today before we close out?
We talked about TTS. We talked about your tier list and the markers. Talked about tournaments results recently with Necrons. We didn't really touch on Astartes, but Astartes is doing really well. We mentioned Heretic Astartes also doing pretty well out there in the BATS format, the BAO simulation thing we got going on. New LVO, we talked about that extra CP. Adepticon was canceled, the pack's out. Nova was canceled. We're hoping that we get a pack for that so we can try kind of mess around with that on Tabletop Simulator, because that would be awesome.
They make great packs. That's the thing.
Yeah,
like,
they do.
Like, hold, people are kind of down on. But the fact of the matter is I can win hold with anything. I can take Space Marines and I can do well. And the way that certain packets have been after that, that has not been the case necessarily with anything.
The biggest way that I look at it is there are people from the hold meta or people from the East Coast and all that stuff, and they've been chill enough to be like, hey, 125 points, let's try that. Hey, hold one, kill one, let's try that. I think we owe the same thing to kind of Nova and stuff, right? Like, they're doing it differently than we've started doing things over here now, but that doesn't mean it's a worse way to play the game. It's just a different way to play the game, and I'm excited for any kind of ways, especially people – in this case, a guy who, you know, got to play test the game, I would hope he has some ideas that maybe we don't have, or some information that we don't have when he's balancing and making these changes and things that he does. So, like, you know, I'm just, it's one of those things where it's just like real recognize real, right? Like, you know, they're doing their own thing on the, you know, like, you mentioned Janice. When she came to LVO, she said, this is West Coast kill team. I'm used to playing East Coast kill team. Like, you know, but she gives them both the respect that, you know, and the reality is, like, Sheldon works a ton on these tournaments that he throws, you know. Alex works a ton on the tournaments that he throws up and sets up at Kill Teammate Academy. You know, on the other side of things, Nova and Adepticon, the people that organize those, they put a lot of effort into this too, right? Like, it's not just something they do on the side. Like, this is something they take seriously as well, and they put a lot of work and effort into, and I think it's, you know, you got to be able to show that respect to them as well. So I'm excited for the Nova packet. I've been looking at Adepticon packet recently, just for, you know, to try some different things to play. Again, we have Tabletop Simulator, we have access to all these different maps or things that people can create, which is awesome, so it's a little bit easier to play it. Whereas before, like, if everybody was prepping for Nova, I wouldn't be able to get anybody to play this, or, you know, like, everybody was prepping for BAO, I wouldn't be able to get anybody to play an Adepticon map. But because of the times and the availability, I can get to try some of these things that I might not have tried before, different factions as well and things. So that's really cool. Underutilized units and sub-factions, we kind of discussed that a little bit with Harlequins. And like I mentioned, the Jukari, and, you know, even like I've been looking at Astartes recently and like, oh, how can I take advantage of some units that I don't see a lot of people running, like suppressors and things like that, which are way expensive. That could be, you know, we can go deeper in depth into that, maybe another another podcast. But I think we talked about everything.
I can cover a lot about Astartes in another podcast sometime. I've mained them since January, basically. After LVO, that was it.
Yeah. The only big thing that I will throw out there that we did not touch on, Indominus, and how you see that potentially dropping in. I don't know if you want to put that off to another podcast, but 9th has dropped. That box came out. Everybody got their boxes, last weekend, right? Like a week ago?
Except today, me. Actually. I bought my box, but I haven't taken possession of it yet, sadly.
Yeah, fair enough. But you know what I mean? So people are getting these, and people are starting to speculate. Are we going to see these sword and board boys? Are we going to see this huge, whatever, three-legged Necron abomination? What are they called? I forget what they're called, but with like the big axes and claws. And
sword and board, almost
certainly.
Big Necron construct, probably not. That's what I would guess.
Right?
Just put TLDR version, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. But no, so there's a bunch of units coming in that box. Like, will we see some of those leaders come into the game? Will we see Laser Mancer or whatever it is for the Necrons? Could be an added commander unit for Necrons. Will we see, you know, we still got a lot to find out, right? Because they said we still got, you know, like we have the inside word from, you know, mind you, it's from Discord and things like that, but people saying I'm tied in. I know that Kill Team, they do have they don't want Kill Team players to feel left out. Like, we are going to be giving them something in the future. So the question is it, are they going to give us scraps from new 9th edition stuff, or are they going to give us our own real new stuff? You know? So
yeah,
we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, brother. We'll have to see. Well, all right, man. It's been a pleasure. I hope you continue to do okay in this quarantine, man. It's great to talk to you again.
I'm hanging in there. It's always good talking. Always good talking Kill Team and hanging out. The Discord's been a lot of fun. You know, it sucks the times that we're in right now, but you know, you just got to do the best with what you can do, right? You know, life gives you lemons, make lemonade kind of thing. So we've been making lemonade on a Tabletop Simulator and Discord because we can't go. Do it in person. So, you know, it's gotta do what we can do. It's good talking to you. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah,
it's
brother.
Always fun to run my mouth. As always, I'll leave you with two things. Crisis suits.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, not feeling them. Feeling them a little bit more because I've been trying out some new lists, but they're still, it's just, you give up so much. You give up. It's like the whole thing about, you know, talking about suppressors just recently is the cost of them. It's like, it's just, I just don't see the cost to effectiveness yet, but I'm still giving them a try. I know Paul really wants me to run them more, still thinks they're super strong, but I'm trying to make them work. It really does depend on the packet. And then the other thing is always be slapping nuns.